privileged to be with y'all tonight. I am up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that they call it the city of brotherly love, but y'all don't know how much this song service meant to me tonight because some of the drivers I encountered were not illustrating the name of the city of brotherly love. So I very much appreciated the song service even extra a lot tonight. Do appreciate y'all's prayers so much. I'm very thankful to be with y'all tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to the book of Philemon, one of the shortest books in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul. And the Lord being our helper, I would like to look at this book and see if the Lord will bless us to glean some great truths from it. And again, I appreciate an interest in your prayers. We believe that Philemon was probably written around AD 60, roughly 10 years before the fall of Jerusalem. It was written the same time as Colossians. And matter of fact, the carriers of the letter to Philemon would have been the same carriers of the letter to Colossians. In my Bible, if you look at the end of Philemon, I've got a Cambridge King James Bible, and it says, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. If you look at the end of Colossians, you'll see written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. So you see these letters being written at the same time and going back, the letter to Colossae and then the letter to Philemon. Philemon begins by the Apostle Paul saying, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was a prisoner of the Roman authorities when he penned this letter. And he said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner for preaching the gospel and for standing for the truth of the Lord Jesus. And it's just such a sweet reminder to me of how important it is, the truth of the Lord Jesus, and how important it is for us to stand to the for the truth and for gospel ministers to preach the truth. It meant everything to the Apostle Paul. He said, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. You see the humility of the Apostle Paul. Philemon was likely came to confess belief and in following of the Lord Jesus Christ under the preaching of the Apostle Paul. But here the Apostle Paul does not, he's not a lord over God's heritage, as Peter would write that we are not to be a lord over God's heritage, but he's very humble. He doesn't say, I'm an apostle and you're another type of minister, but he's extremely humble with Philemon. And he's extremely loving. He said, you are dearly beloved and you're a fellow laborer. The Apostle Paul didn't see himself above anybody, but he saw himself as fellow laborers with other ministers of the Lord Jesus. It appears from this language, I believe, that probably Philemon was a gospel minister there at the church at Colossae. And the Apostle Paul sees everybody on an equal footing. And we're reminded there's no hierarchy in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, about verse 25, about verse 28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all unified in the body of Christ, not one being above another. We know as gospel ministers, we are to be spiritual leaders in the church. We are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be under shepherds to lead the little sheep and following after the Lord Jesus Christ. But I love the humility of the Apostle Paul, that he doesn't view himself above anybody, but he's extremely humble in his service to the Lord. He goes and says to and to our beloved Apphia. Apphia's was likely Philemon's wife, and he with great fondness calls on her to our beloved Apphia. And one of the things we'll see that just encompasses and overwhelms the book of Philemon is an extreme and great sense of love. He said to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. We know that Archippus was a minister there at the church at Colossae. We can know that because in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, would say, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So he was a minister there at the church at Colossae. Some have said Archippus may have been Philemon's son, but the Bible doesn't say that. But we know that he was a minister there and close to Philemon. And the Apostle Paul said, he's my fellow soldier. We're in the trenches together. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ together. I'm not a general and you're a captain, but we're fellow soldiers in the church of the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded of a time when I was trying to preach over in the state of Florida, and there was a lady visiting from another order that was visiting there, and it was me trying to preach there and another invited minister. And she came up to me after the service and was being very encouraging about the service. And she told me, she said, you know, you and the other invited ministers, y'all like seem like y'all really love each other and that you want each other to preach well. I said, we do. she said, you know, there doesn't seem to be any jealousy. And I said, look, we're on the same team. He's my fellow soldier, and I hope that he thinks of me as his fellow soldiers. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're all servants, whether we're an elder, whether we're a deacon, whether we're a sister, whether we're a brother, whether we're a small child. Revelation tells us that we've been made kings and priests unto God. We are unified in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no big eyes. There's no little use. But we're all in unity, and we're all laboring together, trying to please the one who has chosen us to be a soldier. He says, into the church in thy house. Philemon was very devoted to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as was his family. And saints of God met together as a church in the house of Philemon. The Apostle Paul then says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only place where true grace and true peace comes from. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from human leaders, but grace, true grace, and true peace comes only from one place, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God, making mention of thee. Thee is a personal pronoun. And this letter is to Philemon. He said, I thank my God, making mention of thee, Philemon, personally, always in my prayers. How much does it mean to us when another little child of God says, I've been praying for you personally in my prayers? How much does that mean to us and uplift us when we're going through the trials and tribulations of life, knowing that other little children of God are praying for us? And here he knows that the Apostle Paul has been specifically mentioning him always, not just sometimes. You know, it melts my heart when a member at Providence will tell me, I pray for you every single day. How much that means that children of God, knowing that they're praying for us. Paul goes on to say, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. He said, I've been hearing about you, Philemon. I've been hearing of thy love and thy faith. You know, it always makes me a little bit nervous when I meet somebody I've never met and they say, I've heard about you. And I'm thinking, what have you heard? I hope that when another little child of God hears about any of us, I would hope they hear of our love, and they hear of our faith. That should be our goal, that when they hear something about us, they hear of our faith in the Lord Jesus, and they hear of the love that we have. Notice it says, toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. You may say, Brother Mark, sometimes it's hard for me to love all the saints of God. And I believe the more we love the Lord Jesus Christ and the more we show love toward him, the easier it'll be to show love toward the saints of God. He said, I've heard of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. He said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know, we don't have the ability to give faith to another child of God. The Lord does that directly. Bible says, as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. God is the dealer of faith. I can't give somebody faith, and neither can you. But what it's referring to here is when we work out the faith that the Lord has put within inside of our hearts in regeneration, we work out that faith, and it's a blessing to others. How many times have the faith of my fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, my brethren and sisters in Christ, seeing your faith, how much has that uplifted me in some of the most difficult times in my life? And I can have seen experiences where you have gone through difficult times and trials and tribulations. And it encourages me to say, if they can keep trusting God and the Lord Jesus in the most difficult things they've experienced, surely I can. And he said that the communication, that the that word communication is literally the Greek word koinonia. It's the same word that we get communion from. It's a sharing together. It's a partnering together. And he said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He said your encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ because of your faith that you work to the outside. He said every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know, Mark Quarles ain't got nothing good in him but what's in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, would say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know where spiritual blessings come from? They're in Christ. We are blessed with them through Christ. And we don't have any spiritual blessing that's not in Christ. He has blessed us with them all. And every good thing that is in any one of us is in Christ. That's where we got it. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He said, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Philemon was the kind of man that he was an encouragement to his brethren and sisters in Christ. And he said, we have great joy, Philemon, and we've got consolation, we've got comfort, we've got encouragement in thy love. Have you ever been down in the dumps and you come across one of your brethren and sisters in Christ who is always so encouraging and is always so loving, and you leave their presence with a far greater joy than when the conversation started? And you just feel encouraged and uplifted, and now you have great joy and you've got great consolation and comfort in their love. That's the way it was to be around Philemon. And he said, because the bowels of the saints, that word bowels is kind of like we would use our word heart. It's was the center of emotions. And he's basically saying, because the bowels of the saints, the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. What a blessing when we can be a refreshment to each other. You know, the Bible says as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We like refreshing, don't we? When we're thirsty, we like a cup of cold water. I got one right here. It is so refreshing. Maybe if we've been in the heat of the day and we've gotten all dirty and are not smelling very good, how refreshing is a good shower? There's things that can refresh us. And I'll tell you, as brethren and sisters in Christ, we should be a refreshment to each other. It's so much easier for me to live in this low ground of sin and sorrow because of you, my brethren and sisters in Christ. And you have been such a refreshment to me. My bowels, my heart has re been refreshed by thee. He said, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. He's fixing to get to one of the main purposes of this letter. He said, I could be bold in Christ and I could enjoin thee. That word enjoin means I could order thee, I could charge thee for that which is convenient. That word convenient means that which is proper, that which is fitting. He said, I could order you or charge you to do what I'm about to ask you to do, but he said, I'm not going to order you to do it. I'm not going to charge you to do it. I'm going to ask you to do it. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee, I beg thee, listen for my son, Onesimus, which I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I've sent again, that thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Onesimus was a servant. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon that had run away. He may have stolen from Philemon to fund his running away. The Bible's not specific, but we know this much. He was a run away slave. The name Onesimus is interesting, and the Apostle Paul is using a play on words here. He said, he used to not be profitable to thee, but now he's profitable to me and to thee. The name Onesimus means profitable. And he's saying, Onesimus is profitable. As we look throughout the rest of this book, the rest of this chapter, because the book is a chapter, I want us to see ourselves as Onesimus. Because in a way, Onesimus is a picture of us. And the Apostle Paul is going to be a sweet picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we were slaves. The Bible paints a picture in the Old Testament of the children of Israel as slaves and bondmen in Egypt, but the Lord brought them into freedom. And we were slaves and bonded and in bondage to sin, but the Lord gave us freedom. And because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary, we've been made free. But the Apostle Paul is asking, beseeching for love's sake, something that could be considered very difficult for Philemon to do in the context of this culture. It was a serious crime in the Roman Empire for a slave to run away. And there were strict consequences for that. Some even believed it could be the death penalty for a runaway slave. And Philemon would have been under great pressure to severely punish Philemon. Philemon would have been under great pressure to severely punish Onesimus, the runaway slave. Not only was Onesimus running away, depriving Philemon of his service, but it was also a breach of trust and a breach of Philemon's authority. And now Paul is saying, just receive him back. Forgive him. I don't know what all Philemon may have been thinking. You know, some of the slavery was very well entrenched in the Roman Empire. And Philemon just receiving Onesimus back could have been very difficult for some of the people in Philemon's community to understand, say, well, if you don't punish your slave for running away, then maybe just all of them will run away. Look at the love again that the Apostle Paul has for his brethren and sisters in Christ. Not only did he view Philemon as a fellow laborer, look at what he says about this runaway slave. He said, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. He said, Onesimus is mine own heart. He is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my brother, and he's my heart. Look at the humility. Look at the love of the Apostle Paul. And he's asking Philemon, you love him just like I love him, no less, and you forgive him. Onesimus had really done Philemon wrong. Have we ever had anybody do us wrong? Maybe there's somebody in your life right now. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a fellow church member. Maybe it's somebody you go to school with. Maybe it's somebody you go to work with. And they've wronged you. And you just can't seem to find it in your heart to forgive. Paul is asking Philemon, forgive him. Forgive him. You know, Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven ye. The Lord Jesus, with all he suffered at the hands of men upon the cross of Calvary, with the crown of thorns on his head and the whip upon his back and the nails in his hands and in his feet and the cruel mockery of men who said he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the Christ, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. And they mocked the Son of God, the one who created the ground they were standing on. They mocked him. They spit upon him. What does Jesus do? Father, even as he was dying on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Jesus could forgive in that fashion, cannot Philemon forgive Onesimus? And cannot Mark Quarles forgive who I have ought against? Cannot you forgive who you have ought against? But you know, Paul really asked Philemon to do more than just to forgive. He asked him to reconcile. You know, in Romans chapter 3 and verse, I believe it's 25, an interesting word is used by the Apostle Paul in writing unto the church at Rome and speaking of what the Lord Jesus did for us. Romans chapter 3, let's begin in verse 24. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, being justified, that word means declared righteous, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. And I believe that verse is saying that God the Father so trusted in the blood of Christ that would be shed, he was able to forgive all the sins of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those that came before the cross. And that's why when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob died, they went straight to heaven because of what God the Father believed the Lord Jesus Christ would do. But my point to go to this text is the word propitiation. See, propitiation means even more than the Lord washing away our sins by his precious blood. See, if the Lord washes away our sins, that means he's got nothing against us. But this word goes a step further than the Lord just having nothing against us. It's that we've been gathered into loving favor. You know, I can have something not against somebody, but I may not have them in my love and favor. But this word propitiation means not only that the Lord Jesus washed all of our sins in his own precious blood and has nothing against us, but it means he's brought us into loving favor. He's reconciled us so that he loves us so very much. Paul goes on in Philemon, and I know we got to wrap this up quickly, whom I would have retained with me. He said, I would have kept Onesimus with me, that in thy stead and thy place, Philemon, he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He said, Onesimus was a great minister to me. But Paul says, but without thy mind, he said, I wouldn't do it without you knowing about it, Philemon. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. He said, what I'm asking you to do, to forgive Onesimus, and not only to forgive him, but to receive him back, I want it to be willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. Here's the reconciliation. Not just receiving him back as a servant, not just receiving him back as a slave, but as a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's saying, Philemon, not only am I asking you to forgive him, I'm asking you to receive him as a brother. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has not only forgiven us, he's received us as a brother. In the midst of the church, he sings praise to us. He said, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. He's called us a brother. You know, Philemon's name literally means friendly. Proverbs 8, chapter 18, chapter 24 says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friend is the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only
received us back, though we were rebellious slaves against him like Onesimus. Not only did he forgive us, but he said, you're my brother. Because he's recognized us as his brethren and died for us on the cross, we're joint heirs with him. He said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. The apostle Paul says, Philemon, whatever he owes you, put it on my account. He said, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, although I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. He said, I'll take his place, Philemon. I will take Onesimus's place. I will pay the debt he owes. And that's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. He paid the debt that we owed. He took upon him all the punishment that my sins and that your sins deserve, an equivalent of an eternity in hell forever. But he took the punishment. He said, I'll repay it. He said, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do more than I say. He said, Philemon, I know you're going to do everything I ask, and you're going to even do more. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother, and I know you're going to refresh the bowels of Onesimus. And here we see the apostle Paul and Philemon not only proclaiming grace, we see them living grace. Living grace is forgiving. Living grace is loving unconditionally. Living grace is not only forgiving others where they wronged us, but being reconciled with them and saying, you're my brother. You're my sister. You're my heart. You're my all. And then he goes on to say, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He said, I've been praying for you every day, Philemon. Pray for me. Pray for me. And I believe your prayers are so effectual that I'm going to get out of this Roman prison and I'll come see you. And then he gives, salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, and Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Again, Apostle Paul says, we're all on the same team. Not one of us is above the other, but we're all serving our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I pray that I'd not only try to preach grace, that I'd try to preach propitiation, that I would try to preach reconciliation. But I pray I'd live grace, that I'd love others the way Jesus loves, that I'd forgive others the way Jesus forgives. And I'd be willing to receive back even a rebellious runaway slave. Say, you're my brother. You're my heart. God bless you is my prayer.
Mark, we certainly appreciate that preaching to us tonight. You know, I have never preached from the book of Philemon, but I have heard several good sermons preached from the book of Philemon, and we've heard another one tonight, and we thank the Lord very much for it. This time, we're going to turn it over to Brother Jeb and his family to lead us in a final song, and afterwards, we'll make a few announcements and close the service with prayer.